This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's official. Xavi Hernandez is returning to Barcelona, this time as manager, as he looks to resuscitate this historic club. We have Fabrizio Romano and Samra Hunter later on to join the show to discuss this return and what it means for both Xavi as the manager and Barcelona as the club. Qué Golazo begins right now. Hey, everybody, welcome to Qué Golazo. Thank you so much for being part of the show. Follow us on Twitter, Qué Golazo Pod, youtube.com/ Qué Golazo, Apple Podcast, Spotify, Stitcher, and of course, CBS Sports and your CBS Sports app. Right then, it's not every day, definitely on a Friday, that we get the pleasure of seeing our very own Fabrizio Romano once again. I know he's been a busy man right there in the Web Summit, doing some great stuff over there in Europe. But Fabrizio, we welcome you once again. How are you, my friend?
Thank you, my friend. I'm great. Thank you. Thank you, as always, for your kind words, and super happy to be together. It's been a manager's week.
It's been a manager's week indeed, and I feel that it's not going to stop. Definitely the conversations, but this is the biggest, arguably the biggest so far yet. As Xavi leaves Al Sadd in Qatar and returns to Barcelona. Fabrizio, I'm going to let you do all the talking. Talk to me about the fundamentals of this, because earlier in the week, it seemed that Al Sadd was being stubborn as Barcelona actually execs headed to Qatar to try and create a conversation and see if they can get Xavi to return. But how did this develop and eventually end up with Xavi returning to Barcelona?
Yes, it's a crazy story, let me say, because while we are talking, Al Sadd made an official statement announcing that Xavi will be allowed to go back to Barcelona, so everything is official. But in this statement from the CEO of Al Sadd, they say after paying the release clause, that is around 5 million euro. From Barcelona sources, they say we are not going to pay, and we have not paid the release clause at the moment. So, you know, it's a spy story around again on this Xavi deal. But I think it's just part of the strategy to see about the payment terms, and maybe they will find an agreement, like saying, okay, we can find another way to make this money, maybe with a friendly game or this kind of things. So they're still talking in this moment to find the official final solution. From Barcelona, they are not super happy with what Al Sadd did, communicated in public this agreement with Barca and announcing Xavi as new Barcelona manager without telling them of this statement also on the close. So from Barca, they say that they have not paid this 5 million euro yet as of now. So let's see how it's going to end up. But the end is 100% sure that Xavi will be the new Barcelona manager. So we have to see what is going to happen with this money. But Xavi will be the new manager. Has been really complicated from day one to negotiate with Al Sadd. First of all, because they wanted Xavi to be on the bench for them in the last two games, because it was really important for Al Sadd to continue this project in this moment of the season with Xavi and then make him free to go to Barcelona. Not so free, because they're looking for this 5 million euro, and from what it seems is more strategy, like saying, okay, you have to respect us with money and not just saying, we are Barcelona, we want your manager, so come back to Barca, and it's so easy. So this is why the process has not been super easy. This is why Juste and Alemany, board of Barcelona, the closest persons to the president Juan Laporta, are in Doha since 3 days negotiating with Al Sadd. As I said, right now they are still trying to find the final solution, but the official statement from Al Sadd is there, and the end of this story is the same. Xavi will be the manager of Barcelona. So this is not in doubt. It's about how much they're going to pay, when they're going to pay, how they're going to pay, because Al Sadd announced it that Barcelona are going to pay, but they've not paid yet. Crazy story. Another one in Barcelona after many and many and many we had in the last year.
This is insane, because now it's about also the release clause, as you mentioned. And I'm hearing reports as well, Fabrizio, that even Xavi will pay part of it or all of it. And you mentioned, of course, there could be an arrangement of friendlies in the future that obviously would generate a lot of income. So to your understanding then, It's going to happen. Obviously, Xavi returning to Barcelona is just about the dotted line of this release clause and the fact that Barcelona were not happy that Al-Sadd did this publicly, hoping that, of course, none of this was going to come out from internally. So that was the main key. So the release clause is the main thing, but essentially it will come to the agreement that Xavi returns to Barcelona.
Yes, yes, yes. I'm sure of this. Also because Xavi only wanted this and was pushing for this solution, but also because after the statement with Al-Sadd announcing, because the statement is there, and this is a statement where they say Xavi will be the new manager of Barcelona. Okay, it's not Barcelona, but there is a statement. And we know how important it is in football to have these kind of things. There is a statement announcing Xavi to Barca. And there is Barcelona board in Doha since 3 days. Imagine them coming back after this statement and not having Xavi as new manager. Would be another incredible disaster for Barcelona. After an official statement, not just after rumors. It's an official statement. And this Barcelona board in Doha. So, yes, they will find a solution. This is also what they say for people close to the club. So it's going to be Xavi. They need to find a solution for this 5 million euro, for this compensation that Al-Sadd won for the manager, for this clause. But I'm sure that at the end is what they announced. It's Xavi as new Barcelona manager.
Yeah, well, as you said, Joan Laporta cannot afford, after what happened with Lionel Messi, of course, and the mayhem that happened this past summer, they cannot afford for this to happen again. So when do you expect an official announcement from Barcelona? Is this a 24/7 situation where they have to deal with it through the weekend? And then maybe, obviously, because the international break is upon us and Barcelona just has this one game this weekend, do you see something next week, perhaps?
I think they need to resolve officially this situation with Al-Sadd in the next 24, 48 hours. This is what they have to do. They know they can't continue with this kind of situation around Xavi. It seems they are negotiating to sign Leo Messi again, but they are negotiating, okay, Xavi is a good manager, but we're talking about the manager. So it's completely different. And, you know, it's a strange feeling around the club, but they know that they're going to complete this. They feel that Xavi is the new manager, so there is no doubt on it, and I want to be clear. It's just about the process to allow him to go back to Barcelona. So I think in 24, 48 hours, everything could be resolved. As you say, the international break will help also Xavi to start this new chapter. Also, from what I told today morning, they told me that Xavi was already planning for today around lunchtime to meet with the team of Al-Sadd, to meet with the board of Al-Sadd, to thank them and be prepared to leave in the following 24, 48 hours. So he was also preparing this process to leave Al-Sadd and to be the new Barcelona manager. So this is why the feeling is just a matter of time to find this agreement on the close. They are negotiating also right now to resolve the situation. Of course, as I said, in Barca, they are not super happy. Also because I had a feeling that they wanted to announce Xavi as new manager and not from Al-Sadd with a statement. So, you know, it's also about how you show your power in football. So Barcelona wanted to make a special announcement for Xavi and not see this kind of thing from Al-Sadd. But this is something that we will forget once Xavi will be in Barcelona. So it's just a matter of time.
It's just a matter of time. You said it was about, you know, 24, 48 hours. I agree. I think this needs to be done sooner rather than later, as Xavi obviously is coming back to Barcelona, but just the final dotted lines. And Celta Vigo host Barcelona 11:15 Eastern on Saturday. So I'm wondering if maybe something right after that game or before it, we will see. Fabrizio Romano, we know you're a busy man, so we wanted to thank you so much for being here. We got Samer Hunter coming later on, but anything that we have missed as you say goodbye?
Yes, I just want to add that for Barcelona fans, okay, Xavi is now the focus, and I think, as we said, in the next 2 or 3 days, everything will be completed and we will see Xavi as new manager. But then immediately after, for Barcelona, will be time to focus on contracts again, because we know that they did it with Ansu Fati with new deal for 1 billion euro at least close, same for Pedri. So they were building with these two players. But now will be time, after Xavi's story, to focus on Ousmane Dembélé. Barcelona in November want to make a new proposal to Dembélé and to find this agreement and to extend his contract, because he's out of contract in June 2022. He's again injured now, but Barcelona are still focused on this contract for Dembélé. And then will be time for Gavi, because Barca will be offering a new deal also to Gavi. And then in the coming months to Ronald Araujo. So contracts are still a big focus for Barca once the Xavi story will be completed, as we expect in the coming hours. So we will keep you posted as always here on Che Golazo on the CBS Sports. And thank you as always.
I love it. And as January approaches, of course, the transfer window will be a major talking point, specifically for clubs that may be looking at players out of contract in 2022, including Ousmane Belé. But Fabrizio Romano remains in contract with us. So thank you so much, my friend. Have a great, great weekend. And we will see you on Monday as well. Fabrizio, thank you.
Thank you. See you on Monday. And stay always on Kickolazo for all the latest. Thank you.
Thank you, everybody. We will be back after this break to talk to La Liga TV, Samra Hunter. We'll be right back.
Picture that super soft t-shirt you love sleeping in. The one that gets softer and softer the more you wear it. Now you can bring that same lived-in softness to your entire bed with Signature Vintage Wash Sheets from Boll & Branch. This all-new collection is even softer than your favorite t-shirt, with a distinctly relaxed look and feel for your best night's sleep. Just like all Boll & Branch bedding, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets start with the highest quality, 100% organic cotton. The lived-in feel comes from a small batch washing process, creating a level of softness you've never felt before. And it's not just the feel. Boll & Branch mastered the laid-back aesthetic using a special technique that creates the well-loved look you'll find with vintage jeans. And true to the Boll & Branch hallmark, Signature Vintage Wash Sheets get softer and softer with every wash. Right now, you can get 15% off your first order with promo code ODYSSEY and save on their most relaxing sheets. So head to BollAndBranch.com today. That's B-O-L-L and Branch.com.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the US. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Welcome back, everybody, to Qué Golazo, as we discuss the Xavi special. We just had Fabrizio Romano, and it's my pleasure, absolute pleasure, to finally bring in somebody. I just love her work. Samra Hunter from La Liga TV. Samra, how are you?
I'm great, man. Thanks for the build-up. What an introduction.
No, listen, I wish it could be longer, but, you know, I know that you are a busy lady. You can follow Samra Hunter on Twitter and social media, of course, and all the amazing work that she does with La Liga TV. So she knows this league inside and out, the inside and out as well of every club. And Samra, it's an absolute pleasure to have you, specifically to discuss Xavi Hernandez and his return to his beloved Barcelona. First of all, Samra, I just want your reaction to this. What do you think about Xavi returning to Barcelona?
I personally think it's great, to be honest with you, because I moved to Barcelona in 2007 from the States, and I was a central midfielder when I played football, and he's my all-time favorite footballer. So I was mesmerized by his passing game. I was mesmerized by what a beautiful footballer he was and what he did for Barcelona at the time, that obviously Rijkaard was leaving, Guardiola was coming in, Messi was coming to the fore, and they went on to become this all-dominating force in world football. So I think on the one hand, it's great. Obviously, he needs to be really tested as a manager, because with respect to the Qatari league, it's not the same caliber, it's not the same level as Spanish football or any of the big five leagues over here in Europe. So it's definitely going to be a very big challenge for him. But he does seem to be really ready for the challenge, I have to say. He seems like he's ready to come on. He's been out in the desert for the last 6 years. He's been coaching Al Sadd for the last 2 years. And I think a lot of Barcelona fans in particular are really, really, really excited about this. They've been wanting him to come home for a very long time. He's been in the press for years now, talking about him coming back at some stage. He always said at some stage he wanted to come back and take up the reins of the club. So it was always a matter of time, wasn't it? So the big question now is this the right moment? Because you know as well as I do what the situation is at the club right now. Probably couldn't be any worse, if I'm completely honest with you. So I think whether it's the right time or not, it almost doesn't even matter. It needs to be. He needs to be ready. It needs to be the right time, you know? And so there's absolutely a romantic idea about him coming home. And a lot of fans are really, really pumped up for this.
Yeah, I think you said it perfectly. I think this is romanticism versus reality, right? Mm. We obviously know what Xavi can offer, nearly 800 appearances for the club. We know the titles that he won in both La Liga, the Champions League, you know, everything that he represents. You obviously discuss about your favorite player. He is one of the, if not the greatest, creative central midfielder the game has ever seen. And so him returning to Barcelona, Samra, is there is that poetry about it. And I feel that it will have that initial influx. Camp Nou will be vibrant. Even players like Pique and Sergio Busquets will kind of find a new sense of energy as well. De Jong will probably learn a little bit more. Ansu Fati, Gavi, Pedri. But here's the other thing that I wanted to ask, because the reality part is the one that intrigues me the most. As right. you mentioned, he's managed Al Sadd. And, you know, he's done very well with them winning titles, etc. But in his first season, he did actually end up third, which I think was Al Sadd's worst record and stuff. So, and it's a totally different culture. It's a totally different idea. Mm-hmm. It's a totally different league. What do you expect as Xavi comes in? What do you expect, at least in the first few months? Because one of the things, obviously, is Champions League, right? The other one as well is making sure they're ninth right now, as you mentioned. And of course, trying to revitalize the squad. That's not the squad that Xavi belonged to anyway. So he could be Pep Guardiola 2.0 as much as he wants. This is not the squad that he thinks Barcelona used to be. So what do you expect in the next few months?
I think that's a really, really important point that you bring up, because I think a lot of fans are expecting him to be the next Guardiola. And I think that could be a really dangerous comparison. It could be made too soon, because it could set the bar and the expectations so high that he may not be able to reach that because of another point that you mentioned, which is that the squad that he's going to have at his disposal now is not the same level of quality, of talent, of caliber as the squad that he was part of when Guardiola took over. The other thing is there is no Lionel Messi coming through in the youth academy. Right. There's only one. It's only happened once in their history. So as much as we want to say someone's going to be the new Messi or whatever, it's just not going to happen. So I think he's not under any illusions, as I'm not under any illusions of how mammoth of a task this is going to be for him. And I think the good thing that he's going to have on his side is that the fans are willing to give him the patience and the time that, even though Ronald Koeman is a club legend, they just didn't want to give him, because he doesn't have that same kind of star power, that same attraction, that authority, that
charisma, I guess.
You know? Yeah, I was going to say charisma, but I almost feel like charisma is not exactly the right word, because when I think charisma, I think Guardiola, Klopp, Zidane.
Right.
Xavi is something a little bit different, you know? But he's an unbelievable football mind. He's so brilliant. He lives and breathes the game. He's an obsessive in the way that Guardiola was. And I think there's absolutely some parallels there. And working under him, playing under him, he's obviously taken some of the philosophies of Guardiola, as I'm certainly going to do with Luis Aragonés or with Vicente Del Bosque or even Ernesto Valverde. So I think the main thing we're going to see from Xavi is him coming in and trying to recover a possession-based football that actually has some kind of effectiveness to it. Because, yes, okay, under Koeman, they had lots of possession. But the thing is, they got to the final third and it was toothless and they had no idea what to do next. And so they really struggled to convert any sort of chances that they were creating. And I think that is something Xavi can come in and change. He will have solutions as to how they can break through low blocks. Teams are going to be defending in numbers, which is something that they do all the time. And I think that he'll be able to do that because he did that as a player with Barcelona, right? 90% of the time, they were the ones dominating, controlling with the ball at their feet. This quick zipping you know, tiki-taka style passing, and they were able to get through tight spaces, break the lines against low block defensive sides. And so that's something that Koeman wasn't able to do with the team that he had. I think Xavi can do that. The other thing is, I think we'll see them trying to recover a little bit of that fast pace passing game, possession, absolutely, because Xavi's obsessive about it. He only believes in having the ball all the time. He believes that attacking and defending, the best way to do that is with the ball, and to try and pressure high and play in the opponent's half as much as possible. So again, I think it's going to be really interesting if he can put these ideas, these philosophies into practice, because the squad, they do have some players that are very much capable of doing this, especially these young players like Nico or Gavi or Pedri, for example. Obviously, Pedri didn't come through the youth system, but Nico and Gavi have. And so they will already have this sort of built in to them, this style of play. They understand it and they'll know what to do with it. But there are some other players that maybe necessarily is going to not work as well, or he needs to teach them how to. But in any case, they need to rebuild the squad over time. And so I think it's going to be a rocky period for a few months as he tries to get things sort of going again. And also he needs to get the players motivated, which is why I think the authority is going to be important, because they'll respect him in the dressing room for who he is and what he's achieved. And he can get his message across. And he's very articulate in the way that he explains his ideas and his approaches to the game too. And I think he can galvanize them into believing that they have the ability to do something, and that they have, well, he can help them get the confidence in themselves again, because there are players underperforming at this point in time. So I think it's going to take a few years overall to really get them back up to an elite level where they can compete with the very best across Europe. And I think part of that will be seeing the young players coming through the academy, continuing to develop, continuing to grow, because they're so young right now. And that coupled with new players, almost ready-made players, if you like, coming into the side too in the transfer window. But again, that's going to be a lengthy process, because Barcelona don't have the financial wherewithal necessarily to do that anytime soon. But I think it's definitely going to be something positive in the long run. I really do think so. I think he has all the ingredients to be a really good manager, and a good manager, a good fit for Barcelona and for what they absolutely need right now.
Yeah, it's a return to Barcelona culture, which is ultimately what Barcelona wants to see. You said a few points there. One of them is about the transfer window. I mean, Barcelona is going to have to dig into their proverbial couches to see if they can find any money under the pillows, because where is the money going to come from? Because reportedly, you know, Xavi, to come back to Barcelona, wanted a few things. One, he wanted his own technical team. Obviously, that was a given anyway. He wanted to strengthen and sort of structure the medical services of the club as well. But the third one that
definitely need to do that.
Yeah, totally, 100%. And the third one was the one that you brought up, which is about strengthening this squad, because, you know, obviously Ousmane Dembele goes out of contract in 2022. There's other wingers that he's looking at as well. I was reading Kingsley Coman, Raheem Sterling, etc. You know, and you said, and I agree 100%, this is not going to be a sort of a band-aid over a gunshot wound kind of problem. It's going to take a year, years. But the reality is Barcelona need money. And the best way to have money at this moment, aside from obviously, you know, from a marketing perspective, sponsors, brands, etc., is qualification to the Champions League, winning La Liga, or whatever it is. So in terms of years, what do you see 5 months from now? Like, is Barcelona still in the Champions League? Are they competing with the top four? Because I'm looking at La Liga, something that you see and breathe and eat every single day, Samra Hunter. It's a competitive season this year. Can Barcelona even make it in the top four? I know it sounds incredible, but, you know, I'm looking at the table and I'm like, can they even do that? Even with Xavi Hernandez?
I think the Champions League is beyond them this season. I'm not even 100% convinced they'll get out of the group stage. They might finish third. But, I mean, obviously, for sure, they're not going to finish first. There's no question about that. That's completely off the
table. They're not winning this. So, you see them
definitely not going to win. They're definitely not going to win the Champions League. Okay. So that, for me, is a write-off.
Yeah.
La Liga, yeah. I think top four is feasible, only because the season has been really wild and really mad. And we've seen basically everything happen, especially when you least expect it. Teams that shouldn't be winning are winning. The underdogs are taking the games to the bigger teams and they're beating them. I mean, Rayo Vallecano they were just promoted this season. They're like fifth or sixth on the table right now, and they've beaten everybody.
The Falcao effect, baby. The Falcao effect.
Exactly, exactly. Another one. The eye of the tiger, man. I love to see it. So, I mean, even Osasuna's been punching above their weight. Mm. They're like sixth or something like that, too. So, yeah. I mean, you have a lot of these really smaller, humble teams that are doing exceptionally well. And you do see it's a much more balanced, much more competitive, to borrow from your word, league this season. So I think anything is possible. The other thing for Barcelona, they do have a game in hand, so it helps. If they win that, then they definitely could jump up a few places rather easily. I don't necessarily see them going the distance. I don't see them winning La Liga. Maybe they could win the Copa del Rey because it's a knockout competition. It could be a little bit easier in a way, let's say. But La Liga, I think this season, they're going to fall short. But top four, I could see them doing that. Yeah.
Okay. So hopefully, especially if Xavi comes in and gets his plan together. And I think also the added effect that maybe during the break where there is no Champions League and, you know, he can hopefully return to something. I do worry about, before we say goodbye to you, Samra Hunter, from La Liga TV, I do worry about, we were just going back to the players, right? I mean, Gavi is going to completely benefit from this. Pedri as well.
Absolutely.
Ansu Fati, Frankie de Jong, even Sergio Busquets, who's learned every single trick or the trade, will probably find himself in a situation where he's like, you know what? One of the legends is back and we can bring back Barcelona to what it was. But Memphis Depay worries me a little bit. Sergiño Dest, even though, you know, he's suffering from a little bit of an injury now, he worries me a little bit just because of the way that they are somewhat unable to contain the ball. They're very Ronald Koeman kind of players, right? Push up, counter, go wide, etc. How do you see those players? Is there anybody in particular in this squad that you think you better get your act together because Xavi might not even pick you?
Well, I think some of those players are the ones that you've already mentioned, to be quite honest with you. And I think at the end of the day, what he wants to do, how he wants to play is going to condition the setup. It's going to condition the system, for example. We all know that Barcelona love a 4-3-3, but even with the dream team under Cruyff, they would use a 3-4-3, a 3-4-3, something he's been using with Al-Sadd. That could be an option too, although I don't think it's going to be as likely. But he likes to use wingers, more traditional type wingers who are going to stretch the pitch. So I don't necessarily see Sergiño Dest operating in that position unless out of necessity, because the injuries, and that's something I'll come back to, that really has been a problem for them. They've been completely ravaged by injuries for the entire season. And that also affects the number nine position, because Xavi would like to play with a number nine. But right now, they don't really have one per se. I mean, they have Luc de Jong, but I don't necessarily see him being the type of player that's going to be around for much longer. Sorry to say that. At Barcelona anyway. Kun Agüero out for the next few months. Braithwaite is also injured. So Memphis Depay could be a sort of reconverted 9-10, 9.5, if you like. That could be an option. I think he will like to use the likes of Ansu Fati or Dembele if he can stay fit as more traditional wingers if possible. I mean, he does have options to do that, but the players have to stay fit. And it's been a really big problem. And I think that's actually something that worked against Ronald Koeman, to be completely honest with you. I don't think he was entirely at fault in the way that a lot of people are saying he was. I mean, there were games where he only had two attacking players available. I mean, what are you supposed to do? You have to come up with creative solutions, you know?
He put PK up front one game,
Exactly. I don't necessarily see Xavi doing that, but
No chance.
But I do think there are quite a few players that need what they say in Spanish, a toque de atención, you know? They need to have a little bit of a wake-up call, I guess you could say. And I think Xavi will have that sort of presence to say, listen, either you get on board or you're out. It's my way or the highway kind of thing. Not necessarily in an aggressive manner, but to say either you get on board with the ideas that I'm putting forward because this is how we're going to get out of the trouble that we're in, or there's the door and you can leave. So, yeah, I don't know. It's going to be interesting to see how the players react. I think they will sit up straighter. I think they definitely will have some sort of reaction to him coming into the dressing room. He at least deserves that for everything that he's done for the club and so on. But there are players that definitely need to up their game a bit. And I think it will start with the midfield because that's his expertise. And there's a lot of talent in the midfield. And I think Busquets, depending on the day as well, and depending on who he's surrounded with, he's either putting on a masterclass or he's having the worst game of his life. Right. And I think Busquets will be somebody he also recovers to, which will be massively important for Barcelona. And we'll see if they if they decide to set it up with one holding midfielder, two, or I don't know. But in any case, it's going to be very interesting to see how he tries to get them out of this mess.
And I bet you over there at La Liga TV is just savoring the fact of trying to figure all this out tactically with your team as well. Semra Hunter from La Liga, before we say goodbye to you, any final thoughts about Xavi to Barcelona or anything that you want to discuss in La Liga? Because we don't talk to you every single day. I would love to hear, you know, who your favorite is maybe on winning the whole thing. Real Madrid, Karim Benzema, of course, Sevilla, who I love so much as well. But how have you seen this season so far?
I've really, really enjoyed it because it's a season where you have to expect the unexpected. It's really unpredictable. So every week, if you say, who's the favorite, I might change my mind, to be completely honest with you. I mean, Real Sociedad are the pace setters right now.
Oh, they're great.
Really expected that. They're fantastic. They're really fun to watch. And they're so attractive in their attacking style of football. In some ways, it kind of resembles the Barcelona under Guardiola, but a little bit more direct, if you like. And I just don't think they'll be able to hold on, though. That's the only thing. I would love to see them finish in the top four. They've been regularly in the pole position for the last 3 years at some stage during the season. They're a phenomenal team under Alguacil. Sevilla's another one who keep getting to the last hurdle and then falling over, you know? And it really frustrates me because they have the team, they have the squad, the depth, they have quality and talent all throughout to be performing better than they are and achieving better things than they are. But for whatever reason, they get there and then it just kind of falls apart. So they could be in
another contender. Real Madrid's title to win then, Semra Hunter. Is that what you're telling me?
I don't know, because at the start of the season, I was backing Atletico Madrid.
Yeah, me too.
Because I felt that they had the best team all the way throughout. They have a phenomenal coach in Simeone. He's trying to change up his tactics. He's trying not to be as defensive as everybody knows that he is. And it's been really fun to watch at periods. But they also have been kind of stuck, and they've had periods where they look really poor and they can't quite figure it out. So they've been very irregular. And same with everybody looks irregular. And I think that's in a way part of the fun. But it also makes it very difficult to decide who's actually going to walk away with the thing by the end of the campaign.
Absolutely. Well, maybe what I'll do is I'll ask you when it's like a week to go, and then we'll have a clearer picture.
Well, maybe a little bit before that, if you want.
That's fine. As long as you say some good words about my brother, Renato Tapia from Celta Vigo as well, Peruvian.
You know what?
People love him.
The difference. He makes all the difference for that Celta team. If he weren't in the squads, and when he's not there, you can see it. He's brilliant. He's a one-man show, and he holds down the fort. So,
the future captain of Peru. It makes my heart so happy to hear the love that they have for Renato. But anyway, the love that we have for you, Semra Hunter, for being part of the show today. Make sure that you follow her on La Liga TV as well. Semra Hunter, thank you so much for being part of Qué Gol Lasso. Hopefully, we will see you soon.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me. You know where I am. You can call me up anytime.
Anytime. And don't forget to follow us on Qué Gol Lasso Pod on Twitter, youtube.com/ Qué Gol Lasso. We're on CBS Sports and your CBS Sports app. And of course, Apple Podcast, Stitcher, and Spotify. We will see you next time. Have a great, great weekend.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.